It's Tuesday, July 21st, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org, and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. Today, I got to interview with Casper Leach from the podcast Time for Hemp. This will be an interview that appears on the Friday, July 31st show, and it's a long interview. I got four whole segments to myself. I really didn't expect to have that much time, but it sure was great to talk about the podcast and my history becoming a marijuana law activist. So if you're interested, catch the Time for Hemp podcast at time4hemp.com. Also have to remind all you stashers out there that this Friday is our Cultivator's Corner interview with High Times Senior Cultivation Editor Danny Danko. So if you've got questions on how to cure, grow, harvest, treat marijuana, you got to get your questions into me at stash@normal.org before Friday morning so I can bring them up with Danny Danko. And it's also time for... It's a normal shout-out. That's right, time for our normal shout-outs to the folks who've been emailing me at stash@normal.org interested in starting their own local normal chapter. I got a phone call today, actually, from a gentleman in Delaware who's interested in starting a chapter, and with his email address and the four others that I already had filed, we now have five people in the state of Delaware who are highly dedicated to get marijuana regulated. So I hope you guys get together and figure out how you're going to start your chapter. I'll be here to help you. Also, emails from the Tampa, Florida area looking to start a chapter there in Florida, from Kentucky, and from Detroit, Michigan, as well as colleges. We're getting all sorts of emails from places like Penn State and Oberlin College that are looking to revive their chapters. And I got an email from a gentleman from the Ohio State University who's looking to form a new chapter there. So Buckeyes, if you're listening, send me an email at stash@normal.org so I can get you all together. We also get international requests. I just received an email from Sweden and one from Queensland, Australia. So anybody in those areas looking to form a normal chapter, send me an email, stash@normal.org, and we'll hook you all up. Now, coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, we begin with your hemp headlines with the fantastic news from late last night at the Colorado Board of Health, which voted 6-3 not to change the definition of caregiver, so the dispensaries in Colorado will continue. We have the sad story of a teenage mother in Alabama who was arrested and her child taken away from her, her newborn, because it tested positive for marijuana. The New York Times takes a look at a couple of people who had a problem with marijuana dependence and tries to scare you with the specter of marijuana addiction. And looking at the drug war south of our border, we are finding that the Mexican cartels are now starting to ship more marijuana over sea routes, and we'll talk about how that affects beachgoers in San Diego. Today is Tuesday, so we'll feature a California marijuana report with Eric Brenner. He'll be bringing the latest news from the Golden State. We've got some music from way back deep in the archives from 1974 from some gentlemen who wrote a song long ago, and their son, one of the musician's son, is a longtime listener of The Stash and just wondered if we could play his dad's tune. So we'll play that on the Daily Audio Stash today. And in our Government at Work segment, we visit with Warren Edson, who's on the board of Colorado Normal, as well as a practicing attorney on the Normal Legal Committee. He was there at that Board of Health meeting in Colorado, and he'll tell us all about it and the burgeoning marijuana dispensary industry on the Front Range. All that and more coming up today on your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Colorado Board of Health votes 6-3 to kill 5-patient limit for caregivers. From the Denver Post. A proposal that would have effectively shut down medical marijuana dispensaries was rejected Monday night by the Colorado Board of Health. In addition to voting down a plan to limit medical marijuana caregivers to 5 patients each, the board also refused to require that caregivers help patients with daily activities. The board did, however, agree to changes meant to prevent fraud and left the door open to revisiting the cap on patients another time. The decision, which came after 12 hours of testimony and deliberations, was met with a loud cheer from the 50 or so people remaining in the audience on the Auroria campus, which had numbered 500 at the start of the day. People stood up, jumped up and down, and screamed. Opponents of the changes, particularly the proposal to cap the number of patients a caregiver could have at 5, said the proposals would have potentially cut off access for about 7,630 Coloradans registered as patients who can legally use the drug. Currently, caregivers sometimes take the form of dispensaries serving hundreds of patients. This is a huge victory for the movement. Congratulations to all the activists in Colorado working so hard to protect medical marijuana patients. This shows you the good that can happen when 500 of us stand together and speak truth to power. Who knows how that vote would have turned out if those board members weren't facing patient after patient telling them that without dispensaries, they'd have to support a criminal in a black market. A black market that shouldn't exist, and a salesman who shouldn't be called a criminal, but that's a point for another time. Dispensaries are safe today on the Front Range, thanks to people like you who stand up for their rights. Alabama mother arrested when newborn tests positive for marijuana metabolites. Sheriff Gene Mitchell said a Huntsville teenager who gave birth to a child in a bathtub at a Lawrence County residence has been arrested after the child tested positive for marijuana. Mitchell said Kimberly Ann Duffy, age 19, of Huntsville, has been arrested for chemical endangerment of a child. Mitchell said, quote, "We were notified by the Lawrence County Department of Human Resources after the positive test," end quote. He said the child was born at a residence in Lawrence County near the Trinity community in December. The sheriff said DHR has taken custody of the child. Mitchell said, quote, "It's a reckless and selfish act for a mother to use drugs while pregnant," end quote. Duffy is being held in the Lawrence County Jail on bail of $15,000. Okay, so we separate a newborn infant from her young mother for chemical endangerment from a chemical that is non-toxic and not proven to cause serious harm to the infant. Cannabis has been used since the dawn of time by expectant mothers for relief from the nausea of morning sickness and treating general pain, and it's safer than anything else she could take for the same symptoms. And why do you suppose the woman was giving birth at home in a bathtub instead of a hospital? Could it be that she feared hospital staff would detect the marijuana and take her child? This is one of the most popular subjects I've reported on The Stash. See one of my earlier posts, Mom Booked Baby Born with Marijuana in System, at stash.normal.org. It's already got 47 comments. And there's dozens of mothers there who are in fear of losing their babies because they smoke a little weed. According to the Physician's Guide to Laboratory Test Selection and Screening, meconium, the dark tarry material passed from the neonate's rectum in the first days after birth until milk or formula-based stool appears, is the specimen of choice for assessing in utero exposure of the neonate to maternal drug abuse. Meconium is preferred over urine for testing. Meconium documents multiple use over an extended period of time, covering the last 4 to 5 months of pregnancy. Urine testing can only indicate drug use over the last 1 to 10 days, depending on the drug. Effects on infants from the cannabinoid marijuana? Negative effect on attentional behavior and on visual analysis hypothesis testing, but no effect on global IQ. Now, compare that to the effects it lists for cocaine, opiates, amphetamines, and benzodiazepines, which include, quote, intracerebral hemorrhage, small neonatal head size, reduced birth weight, fetal death, ADHD, tremors, and seizures, end quote, for the infant, and, quote, complications during pregnancy, premature labor, and ruptured uterus, end quote, for the mother. Is society or that infant better off being put in foster care and having the young mother go through life branded as a drug criminal and a child abuser? New York Times. Marijuana is gateway drug for two debates. Joyce, age 52, and a writer in Manhattan, started smoking pot when she was 15, and for years it was a pleasant escape, a calming protective cloud. Then it became an obsession, something she needed to get through the day. She found herself hiding her addiction from her family, friends, and coworkers. Quote, I would come home from work, close my door, have my bong, my food, my music, and my dog, and I wouldn't see another person until I went to work the next day, end quote, said Joyce, who, like most others in this article, asked that her full name not be published because she does not want people to know about her past drug use. Quote, what kind of life is that? I did that for 20 years, end quote. She tried to stop, but was anxious, irritable, sleepless, and lost. At one point, to soothe her cravings, she took morphine that she found at her dying father's bedside. She almost overdosed. 2 years ago, she checked into the Karen Foundation, a treatment center in Wernersville, Pennsylvania. Even there, she said, some other addicts, cocaine and heroin users or alcoholics, downplayed her dependence on marijuana. Quote, the reality is, I was as sick as them, end quote, Joyce said. She now attends Alcoholics Anonymous, which is also open to drug addicts, and recently married. Smoking pot, she said, quote, was a slow form of suicide, end quote. Sure, smoking pot is a slow form of suicide in the sense that if you smoke pot for 60 to 80 years, you'll die. I've said it before and I'll say it again. A few people do have an identifiable dependence on marijuana, but calling it an addiction demeans the truly physically addicted. Those alcoholics, cocaine, and heroin users can die when they quit using their drug. You got anxious, irritable, sleepless, and lost. you are experiencing the same kind of life and the same kind of withdrawal as a problem gambler, the shopaholic, the sexually compulsive, and World of Warcraft players. The article goes on to sound the alarm about the new Superpot 2.0, not your father's Woodstock weed, that allegedly makes people more addicted, as if somehow alcoholics who drink cocktails all night are somehow more addicted than the case of beer drinker, because liquor is a higher proof of alcohol. Quote, "It's like drinking beer versus drinking whiskey," end quote, said Dr. Nora Volkow, director of the National Institute on Drug Abuse, a government agency and strong opponent of legalizing marijuana. Quote, "If you only have access to whiskey, your risk is going to be higher for addiction. Now that people have access to very high potency marijuana, the game is different," end quote. No, it's not. My dad was a beer-drinking alcoholic. He had plenty of access to whiskey, but preferred beer, and became addicted anyway. People who become dependent on pot smoke it to get high. If it is low potency, they smoke the whole joint. If it is high potency, they take a puff or two. The potency is irrelevant to the nature of the dependence. Furthermore, if you're really worried about the high-potency marijuana, Dr. Volkow, you ought to note that high-potency marijuana is created by prohibition. The economic realities force the growers to grow a more potent strain of marijuana to satisfy their market. We've found in places that are more tolerant with marijuana, such as Portugal or the Netherlands, marijuana users actually prefer lower potency strains. However, I am happy to see people who truly have an issue with marijuana finding the support to help them recover. It's not for everyone. Some people can drink a glass of wine every day, but for some, that would be a problem. If you really need help quitting pot, I wish you all the luck in the world. Because then, there's more for the rest of us. Mexican cartels moving marijuana by sea as border security tightens. From the New York Times. San Diego, California. They move north in rickety fishing boats, often overloaded and barely seaworthy, slipping through the darkness and hidden from the watchful radar of American patrols. Along beaches north of here, the migrants from Mexico and beyond scramble ashore in groups of a dozen or two and dash past stunned beachgoers, sometimes even leaving behind their boats, known as pangas. Drug smugglers, too, take this sea route, including one last month found paddling a surfboard north with a duffel bag full of marijuana on it. As the land border with Mexico tightens with new fencing and technology, the authorities are seeing a sharp spike in the number of people and drugs being moved into the United States by sea off the San Diego coast. The authorities arrested 136 illegal immigrants sneaking in by sea in the fiscal year that ended October 30th, double the 66 marine arrests in 2007. Since October, more than 100 illegal immigrants have been arrested, bringing the marine arrests of illegal immigrants in the past couple of years to unprecedented levels, said Michael Carney, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement agent in San Diego, who oversees a task force on marine smuggling. The seizure of drugs, principally marijuana, has similarly skyrocketed. In the fiscal year that ended in October, the authorities seized 6,300 pounds of marijuana in the coastal waters north of the border, a sevenfold increase from the 906 pounds confiscated in 2007. This fiscal year, 6,100 pounds have been found. Supply? Meet demand. Americans want marijuana. Mexicans have it. Build a border fence, and they'll use boats and surfboards. Send out more Coast Guard cutters, and they'll use submarines. Send out sub-patrols, and they'll build rockets and airdrop parachuted loads of weed. Shoot down the rockets, and the Mexican equivalent of Scotty from Star Trek will build a transporter and beam it into America. You cannot stop supply if there is a demand. Especially if the supply is a weed that will grow damn near anywhere. But you know what you'll never see transported in a duffel bag by a Mexican on a surfboard? A case of Bud Light and a carton of Marlboros.
win people over. You can't just drone on like Ben Stein. You've got to have a little more showmanship. Here, watch.
NormalCon 2009. Yes, We Cannabis. September 24th through 26th, 2009, in San Francisco, California.
The war on drugs has been an utter failure. And I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
President Obama was right in 2004, and 5 years later, the American people agree.
I think it's time for a debate, and I think that we ought to study very carefully on what other countries are doing that have legalized marijuana.
At our 38th annual conference, you'll learn all the facts you need in the debate to legalize marijuana.
As regards to legalization, it's not in the president's vocabulary, and it's not in mine.
We're working hard to make sure legalization is in the drug czar's vocabulary.
Whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy, the answer is no. I don't think that is a good strategy.
There's nothing funny about legalization, Mr. President, or waiting until the last minute to book your trip to NormalCon 2009. Early bird registration rates apply until August. Registration, sponsorships, and vending information is available at norml.org or by calling 888-67-NORMAL.
This is the California Marijuana Report for the week of July 20th, 2009. I'm Eric Brenner. This week, part two of my interview with the guru of ganja, Ed Rosenthal. We head south to L.A. on our California Marijuana Music segment, a visit with Eric Burden, only on the California Marijuana Report. Now for part two of my interview with the guru of ganja, Ed Rosenthal. Ed, thanks for joining us today on the California Marijuana Report. Talk to me about Eddie Lepp and the whole question of 35,000 plants. Everybody makes such a big deal about how many plants and how much you have. I don't care if there's 2 million plants. Does the number of plants mean anything to you, Ed?
What we're talking about is an agricultural crop. And my question is, do you want some amateur to do this, or do you want somebody who's growing medicine, who's producing medicine? Do you want an amateur producing medicine, or do you want somebody who is professional and knows what they're doing? I mean, let's just translate the marijuana laws for a moment to law and say every time marijuana is involved, just think of diabetic. So diabetics can only have their caregiver for themselves to make their own medicine. Now, when they make it, they can only make so much at a time, right? If it doesn't sound right for diabetes and for diabetics, then it's not right for people who use marijuana medically.
Ed, do you believe Eddie Lepp will have to serve out the full 10-year sentence?
If federal laws will change enough for Mr. Lepp to walk out of prison before his sentence, way before his sentence is up. I think things are happening very fast. And a lot of my political thought is based on a book that I read called The Tipping Point by Malcolm Gladwell, which has nothing to do with marijuana, but it was about how ideas and how society changes. And I think that we're at a point now where the laws are changing very rapidly and people's opinions are changing faster than the laws are. So we're in a good situation, and this is, as compared with, let's say, the mid-1980s, or where you could probably take all of the activists, very few, and, you know, we weren't, We had no press time. We weren't covered in the news at all. What they said that was that they would not even discuss legalization. It wasn't on the table. That the question was, how do we enforce the laws or stop people from using drugs? And if they had studied history, the chances of them stopping people from using drugs, they haven't worked any time in the last 5,000 years. So what makes them think that they're going to do that, you know, to win an unwinnable war? But really, they don't want to win it. You know, the worst thing that could happen to the DEA tomorrow, well, it's that everybody stopped using drugs. They'd all be out of work.
The race for governor here in California, who are you supporting? Who are you thinking of supporting? I really want to know your thoughts on Gavin Newsom.
You know, I haven't really studied it, but I think that Newsom would not be totally bad. I think that he's had some, except for the district attorney, I don't think that he's been totally bad. I just have to see who else is running.
Would you expect Newsom to support Ammiano's bill?
Yes. There are a lot of dispensaries in San Francisco. He hasn't come out and campaigned against them. And I think when he sees the numbers, I'm talking about both the financial numbers and the polls in terms of marijuana, why not?
Ed, I've called on listeners on the California Marijuana Report to reach out and phone President Barack Obama and tell him that we disapprove of his marijuana policy.
I think people should start sending him joints so that they should report that they got a million joints this week and just keep sending him joints till he gets the idea. But way beyond that, I think that when he goes to, first of all, on the key issues, gay rights, has he done anything? No. He's waffled. Marijuana, he snickered. The police state and the empire are related to each other because you can't run an empire without a police state. And the best way to have a police state is to criminalize, just do like sort of what the Catholic Church did, criminalize something that everybody's going to do.
Ed, talk to me about San Francisco District Attorney Kamala Harris. This woman is very dangerous to the marijuana community. Tell us why.
We're going to start this campaign about Harris and who she really is and try to find out how many marijuana people she's prosecuted and then have that she gives the money back. It's such a waste of money. Why is she, you know, when money is so tight in government, why is she wasting government money on that? She should give her salary back and then they should jail her. Breaking Prop W. Do you know about San Francisco's Prop W? Prop W, and it said, we the people of San Francisco demand that the police and the district attorney stop the arrest and prosecution of all people involved in the use, transfer, and cultivation of marijuana. Won by an overwhelming majority, and it's still city policy. So she's violating city policy. Once all of this stuff comes out, and it will, and believe me, this is just the first salvo, and once it really comes out, she will be driven back into a little hole cave that she lives in. We're going to get the nomination. We're going to let people know so far in advance that she will not get the nomination. There will be a no vote, an overwhelming no vote against her.
Ed, you can count on us at the California Marijuana Report to help lead the fight against Kamala Harris for district attorney. Let's talk about another foe of the marijuana movement, Senator Dianne Feinstein.
Feinstein is, she's an old lady who doesn't understand. She's beyond her time. I don't think that she's got it all there anymore. I think that she should retire. Let new people come in.
Dianne Feinstein, Gavin Newsom, Ed, these are Democrat machine politicians. Any chance we can cut this machine monster loose in the next 10 or 20 years?
I think there's a possibility of it. I think there's a possibility of some real populist candidates coming out of it because the place is broke. They're going to have major changes in policies.
Thank you. And now some California marijuana music. This week we're in L.A. with the Eric Burdon Band. Here's Rainbow from the album Stop, recorded in 1970, released in 1975. Eric Burdon is a California rock legend, only on the California Marijuana Report. This has been the California Marijuana Report for the week of July 20th, 2009. Special thanks to Ed Rosenthal, Quicksilver Messenger Service, Buzzy Linhart, Eric Burdon, and of course Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Please join our group on Facebook. I'm Eric Brenner for the California Marijuana Report.
Well, I smoke some marijuana with some people I like, just like everybody does from the East Coast to the West. I didn't even notice the cop on the bike, didn't know I was about to be the 20 millionth marijuana arrest. Should have fought for marijuana law reform, should have gone to the web and typed in Norm. Norm to the L.org, normal drop the A.org, baby.
National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws.
The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. For Variety Tuesday, we hear a classic stoner blues tune, Getting Hold of That Weed, by JBB, nominated in Best Blues of the 2009 American Marijuana Music Awards. JBB are five brothers who wrote today's song back in 1974. The song was inspired by the brothers running out of weed when their dealer got busted, but managed to score a few ounces of the finest Mary Jane within a few days. The song was the brothers' first success, and they continued as a band, producing 13 albums during their career. Getting Hold of That Weed was their only song directly about marijuana, but every recording session was inspired through the creativity of Grade A cannabis. JBB say they are, quote, very happy to have a debut appearance on the Daily Audio Stash with the inspirational Russ Belville, end quote. And I'm very happy to see from their photograph that I'm not the only one who rocked a skinny keyboard tie in the 80s. Thanks for the compliment, guys. For more about JBB, check out myspace.com/ILoveEmilyRoseBaker. Interesting, Earl. And registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune. It's Getting Hold of That Weed by JBB.
Let's meet a green field. This Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Tuesday is our look at your government at work here at the Audio Stash. While the inevitable re-legalization of cannabis hemp will have to happen at the federal level, the steps leading to that destination take place at the state and municipal levels. We focus in on the initiatives, bills, and amendments regarding cannabis across all 50 states and what activists like you are doing to enact a positive reform to our cruel and outdated marijuana laws.
Body dies,
working hard to make an impact in your city and state, please email us at stash@normal.org and let's share your local efforts with the worldwide cannabis community. Together, we can affect our government at work.
Afternoon pollution rises high into the sky. How can we still deny?
All right, we go now to the Rocky Mountains and Denver, Colorado, where we're speaking to Warren Edson, who's a member of the NORMAL Legal Committee and on the board of Colorado NORMAL. And Warren, welcome to the Stash.
Hi, Russ. Pleasure to be here.
Now, you were at the hearing yesterday. This is the good news. We reported at the top of the news today about the Colorado Board of Health. Tell our listeners a little bit about the atmosphere there at the hearing.
Well, I was there starting early in the morning on into late in the night. It was a great atmosphere. We had more than 1,000 people there. As the day dragged on, lots of people had to leave and get about their normal business, but it was a wonderful day.
So this hearing lasted how many hours?
It started at 9 a.m., doors opened at 8 a.m., and it ended sometime around 11:30 last night.
Oh, wow. And, of course, as we reported earlier, the vote went in our favor. It was a 6-3 vote to not change the definition of caregiver. What was the legal issue here, and did this board really even have the jurisdiction to make this decision?
Well, to answer your second question first, I don't think they had the jurisdiction, but now we don't have to fight a big lawsuit and figure that out. But overall, they were looking to impose 5 basic changes. They did formally impose a couple changes, that being that you need to present a copy of your driver's license or applicable ID to the state when applying for a card, as well as the fact that our applications now need to be notarized. However, they did not impose a new definition of caregiver that would have formally required other wellness-like services. And in fact, they were very clear that now our caregivers are allowed to just sell marijuana and are not required to provide any other services. Additionally, they did not impose any kind of patient number limit on caregivers.
That is excellent. Of course, this is the driving reason why we have this new dispensary system in the Front Range up there. And how many dispensaries do you have up there now?
Well, they announced yesterday that we have about 70.
Wow, that's good to hear. 70 dispensaries. Okay, so obviously this is doing a fantastic service for the patients in the state of Colorado who otherwise would be without access, and presumably a lot of them were the people that were there testifying. How did this testimony, did you see that it moved the members of the Board of Health in any way, or did you anticipate that even without this attendance, it would have gone 6-3?
There was some pretty compelling testimony yesterday. We had some wonderful testimony from people throughout the state, as well as, frankly, tear-jerking testimony from veterans' safe access.
Okay. Now, this definition of caregiver, this is in Colorado's Amendment 20. And, you know, as a constitutional amendment makes it slightly different than a lot of the other medical marijuana states. Is there anywhere else in Colorado law that touches on the definition of caregiver? And does that give any credence to what they were trying to do?
Well, if it does, they were not citing it. Weirdly enough, the caregiver language they were citing was out of the state of Indiana.
Oh, well, okay. I don't know how that applies in Colorado, but that's interesting.
I don't either. And then the other unusual jump in logic that they were making is that they claimed that they did a study that showed that doctors and nurses see an average of 5 patients a day. So that means our dispensaries should only serve 5 patients total.
Okay. I don't think they've been into a doctor's office lately. They seem to rush me through in like 8 minutes or less. But
I urge them to go talk to my Kaiser docs, who I like very much, but who tell me they have to see a patient every 15 minutes.
Right. Well, that's an even larger discussion about healthcare that we can't fit into this podcast, but I hear you there. It was something that I had thought about with regards to this caregiver language, because, you know, as I read Amendment 20, it seems like the only requirement to be a caregiver is that you're an adult, you know, over the age of 18. And my wife here in the state of Oregon, she's a certified nurse's assistant, you know, a caregiver, under the Oregon law as far as healthcare goes. And she has to go through massive amounts of training and licensing. So I was just wondering if in Colorado law there was any sort of equivalent, and if they really meant caregiver to be like a nurse's assistant, why didn't they just say that?
Well, and that became part of the debate yesterday, was whether or not we had tricked the public way back when in using that language. And we kept trying to stress that we, borrowed that language straight from 215 in California, and then tried to their continuously language to indicate that is in 215 to try to indicate that, you know, it was not your stereotypical definition of caregiver. We even went further and said it is, you know, as part of our definition, it specifically says it is not a doctor.
Right. Okay. So now we are, the system is, so this decision, the 6-3 decision, does it set a precedent now, or is this something they might revisit in the future to try to set some sort of number limit?
They discussed that, and then they appeared to say that they would revisit it in 2 years. Where that came from, I don't know.
Okay. Well, it's an interesting situation that continues to develop here in the state of Colorado, but it is good to see. Now we've got, you know, of course, the dispensaries that we have in California, and then the ones mandated by law in Rhode Island and New Mexico are beginning to get off the ground. So what do you see as far as Colorado's dispensaries and how far this may go? Do you foresee even more growth?
Definitely more growth. The department, I thought I'd been overly optimistic at the Aspen Normal Conference in talking about the growth of our patient numbers, but the department yesterday claimed that they expect 16,000 patients by the end of this December.
Wow.
We're going to add 6,000 patients in not too many months here, but we are about to break 10,000 patients after adding nearly 1,200 patients last month alone.
And I would definitely think that having access to the medicine is a large reason for that.
It is. It's that snowball effect that we've discussed. It gives patients a reason to go get the card instead of just relying on only their doctor's rec to get in these places and see the variety of meds as well as services available.
And
that just grows and grows and grows.
Right. And in the Colorado law, the registration card is not a mandatory system?
It is not. The registration card provides an exemption from the laws prohibiting marijuana, so it should technically stop the officers at the door. But we also built in a huge affirmative defense, kind of secondary defense there, that allows you not to have to get on the registry, as well as allows for expanded plant numbers above and beyond 6 plants, 2 ounces.
Oh, okay. So a lot of these people that are now getting cards may have been medical users already.
Correct. It wasn't mandatory, and they probably didn't want to pay the fee, which right now is $90.
Oh, wow. $90. Okay. Well, the situation, like I said, continues to grow there in Colorado, and we'll keep an eye on it. Warren Edson with the Normal Legal Committee and the Board of Colorado Normal, thanks so much for being at that hearing, and thanks to all of the folks in Colorado who turned out and led to this great decision.
Great. You're welcome, Russ. Now we're going to really start to have some fun.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis.
We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our audio stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with a reminder about NormalCon taking place the last weekend of September in San Francisco. We still got the word out to get street teams in the San Francisco area and the Los Angeles County area to help us with distribution of flyers to announce the conference at the local dispensaries and other 420-friendly businesses. I've already received a couple of emails from folks that are looking to get involved, and I'll be sending you some information soon. But come on, Californians, send me an email at stash@normal.org and get involved with fighting for your own rights by promoting the Normal National Conference. I've got some free Normal swag in the deal for you. Just send me an email at stash@normal.org. Also, don't forget, this Labor Day weekend is the debut of Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. Live two-hour talk radio every Saturday night, 9 to 11 Eastern, 6 to 8 Pacific time. The phone number will be 877-NORMAL.org, and you'll be able to call in live and ask questions of people like Dr. Mitch Earlywine, myself, and all of our fantastic guests. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.